AC Sparky Fiverr, 55 past the hour. Time for another Milwaukee Sports Timeout. And, of course, it's brought to you by the Pottawatomie Sportsbook. And you want to head over to Pottawatomie, bet on all your favorite sports teams 24-7. Enjoy over 70 self-service kiosks, wall-to-wall TVs, free parking, great food, and a full bar. Bet big, bet bold. Learn more at paysbig.com. And, of course, we have to talk about Craig Counsell leaving the Milwaukee Brewers and heading south. And we're going to do that with our guy, Tim Mumma from Brewer Fanatic. He right here in the Wendy Studios. Create your signature breakfast combo with the two for $3 breakfast biggie bundle. Choose from a sausage biscuit, egg and cheese biscuit, small seasoned potatoes, or a medium hot coffee, and make a combo that you would wake up for. Joining us now, he is Tim Mumma of Brewer Fanatic. You can follow him at Tim_Mumma there on Twitter or X or whatever they're calling it nowadays. First things first, Tim, your thoughts when you heard that Craig Counsell stabbed the Brewers in the back and took off down 94 to go coach the Cubs?
It definitely made for a far more fascinating Monday than I anticipated, but man, it did feel like it's an absolute gut punch. The phrases liar came into my mind and traitor. And I mean, I can't tell you, I know you've seen it all over Twitter, but the texts I've gotten from every single person I could think of, baseball and non-baseball, is just unreal. I was almost speechless to a point, and I didn't think it would impact me that much. I'm usually pretty measured about these things, but when it comes to like sports anger, sports betrayal, there's obviously more important things in life, but when it comes to the sports side of things, holy cow, this is right up there at the top of the list. I can't even imagine how people inside the organization feel, to be honest with you.
Is this worse than Favre ending up in Minnesota?
You know, in some way it is, because at least with Favre, there was sort of that year, you know, in between, year of a buffer, and you had known there was lots of internal turmoil, and you have this legendary player and blah, blah, it goes on. And this seems so out of the blue as far as, again, if he went anywhere else, maybe outside the Cardinals, nobody really cares. But to go to the immediate rival, who's probably going to be, you know, a pain in the butt for the next how many years, man, it does feel worse in a way. And of course, I'm way more of a baseball guy than a football guy, so for me, that definitely kind of seals it.
I'm going to tell you what I am angered by. I'm angered that he went to the Cubs. For a million less, he could have went to the Mets. And obviously, New York media sucks, and nobody wants to deal with them. And I understand that. And as much as people bang on the Chicago media, they're really not that bad. That angers me that he went to the Cubs and kind of screwed them, right? It'd be like going from the Packers to the Bears or something along those lines. But the owner of this team, I'm losing every ounce of patience that I have with this dude. I really am. And I'm not going to call for him to sell the team or anything crazy like that. I'm not going to do that. But what I'm angered by is this. He's pretty much told everybody that would listen that he wanted to reset the market, Counsell did, on the manager position. Meaning, I'm going to get a big number so the people behind these average salaries will then grow and everybody's going to get paid more money down the line. And I'm not going to call him a martyr for getting a ton of money, but that's kind of, you know, how he wanted this to play out. Now, again, it's not a secret when I have like three different people tell me over the course of the last 2 weeks that that's what this dude is trying to get done, of people that know Counsell and are close to him. So if I knew that, there's no way in hell Mark Antanasio did not know that. So if you know he's trying to reset the market and your offer is a whopping $1 million over the highest paid manager, you really think that's going to be enough to keep him from going to the New York Mets, who at that time we thought was the big fish here that you had to deal with? Come on, man. And then you leak it out the day that you know it's going to leak out that he's going to the Cubs, because this whole deal, I believe, got done on Sunday. The day you know what's happening, you put out a whole thing of, oh, look at all the guys that got promoted in the Brewers organization. New titles and raises. Yeah, yeah, yeah. And then they also sneak out there, oh, hey, the Brewers made him an offer to make him the highest paid manager in baseball.
Yep.
Oh, yay, he's going to stay. Yay, yay, yay. Uh-huh, right. It was a total BS move. It was that of Fielder. It was that of CC Sabathia, where you give him like 20 or 25 million over 4 or 5 years, knowing darn right well neither one was coming back. They were both leaving. It was to try and tell your fan base, oh, we tried. Sorry, it didn't work, but we offered a lot. And he said, no, we gave it our best, though. That's the same damn thing that happened with Council. And it's insulting to the knowledge of this fan base to try and pull this crap.
Yeah, I mean, a couple things with that. One, I felt the opposite. When they mentioned the promotions and they leaked again the whole, well, he was offered to be the highest paid manager, to me and a lot of other people felt like, all right, he's gone. Now, nobody thought to the Cubs, but definitely didn't think he was coming back to the Brewers. And, you know, now there's word coming, you know, through McKelvey and other people. There was a Zoom call, and it doesn't sound like the Brewers had a chance to match the offer. And I get to your point. You had to have known that, you know, increasing the salary by just so little just to make sure he's the highest paid manager wasn't going to do it. But it really almost sounds like it wasn't just about the money, that Council was really ready to move on, get a new challenge. And certainly this is a unique decision on his part. The one thing I'm a little uncertain about is I agree Council is about his manager brethren, and I do believe it has partly to do with why he's trying to get that big salary. But doesn't this mean he interviewed with the Cubs while David Ross was still the manager of
sure
the
did.
Cubs? That's pretty shady and pretty underhanded. And I mean, that's a huge unwritten rule among managers. So I'm really curious. I mean, we're never going to hear probably the whole story unless somebody gets really, you know, blabbermouthed about it. But I'd love to know the process, the breakdown, the timing of everything, and just really how it got to be here. Because, man, I there was nobody in the industry that had this. Nobody saw this coming up until, you know, the couple hours maybe before it really started happening.
I heard that this thing got going on Friday or Saturday. And close it on Sunday. That's what I had heard. Now, again, everybody's got their own sources, and who knows who's right and who's not right and who's being told the truth. But I heard that it got done relatively over the weekend. It started and ended throughout the weekend. This is the other thing, okay? As we talk about this whole unwritten rule thing about essentially, you know, negotiating with somebody while they're under contract, which is what he did. If you're David Ross and you're current MLB players or current managers, like, does he have like a bad odor to him now, Council, for pulling that crap on David Ross?
I mean, it's possible. If that is exactly what happened, and I don't know how the timing would have worked otherwise, because the Cubs only announced the removal of Ross today from all accounts. So it had to have happened that way. And again, I don't know how much players care about that side of it, if they see that as shady dealing. Obviously, Ross has lots of friends and people that love him throughout baseball for different reasons, not necessarily because of him being a manager, but just his time in the game and the person that he's been. It could bring something up. I mean, Council obviously has always been known as a good clubhouse guy, and players respect him and all that stuff. Maybe that changes things a little bit. In the end, it's probably not going to matter too much. He's going to be in Chicago 5 years, maybe. And, you know, it's just going to matter what he does there, how he treats the players and organization there. I don't know. It'll do a whole lot, but I'll be curious if Ross has anything to say, because he hasn't been shy about expressing his feelings. I mean, he did a couple times toward the Brewers and how things were handled in Milwaukee and things with the roof and all that nonsense. So I wouldn't be surprised if he comes out and said something, unless he just feels like, look, there's no point to it. It's not going to do any good. And it's just going to sound like me whining that I lost my job and all that kind of stuff. But I think that's kind of one of the fascinating parts that hopefully we'll learn a little bit more about, and maybe it's not that unwritten rule anymore that people care about.
We talked about Brett Favre earlier about, you know, it's just worse. The cool thing about Brett was he picked up and left and didn't come back to live or anything ever again. This dude is going to try to live here still and have kids in high school here?
Yeah.
Are you kidding me? Like, what are you thinking? I couldn't even imagine being either one of his kids in high school when this breaks during classes that their dad just picked up and went to the Cubs. Now, if he knew what was going on today, hopefully he called them in sick and said, you stay home. We're not going to send you in to go through all this crap while you're in school. But again, him going to the grocery store, his wife going to the grocery store, their kids going to the grocery store. They're going to have to lead a life still if they're going to plan on living in Whitefish Bay still. Like, I don't understand how this is possibly going to work. I know we're a nice people here in Wisconsin. I understand. But sometimes you push us a little, and Brewers to Cubs is pushing us a hell of a lot.
I can't deny that has got to be a little bit of a concern. I hope people don't do anything stupid.
They should just boo him. When he's going to get an apple in the vegetable sack, you just boo. Every time you see him, just boo him. Nothing else.
I'm fine to that extent. If anyone, hears this, don't do anything stupid, okay? It's not that big of a deal. We can be mad and angry, and you can do anything you want. You can say what you want at the Brewer game, and sure, if you want to boo him at the grocery store, that's your prerogative, but let's make sure nothing's actually physically going on to anybody. I feel like it's crazy I have to say that, but I know people are passionate, and they're going to be way more over the top feeling about this. And it stinks. It stinks. It's, again, anywhere else, it just, even somehow the Cardinals wouldn't have felt as bad for some reason. But the Cubs, man, the Cubs.
This is the other thing. As I'm sitting here thinking about this, this whole thing at the end of the year about, we're not going to talk about it. We're not going to talk about it. You know why they weren't going to talk about it? Because he felt like he got lowballed. It was like, you're not even close. Like, you know what I'm trying to do, and you throw this crap at me. I'm not talking to you anymore about this. Just forget it. Like, I'll go to Stearns in New York, and they're going to make me a real offer to reset the market, and then I'll let you know. I'm telling you, he felt insulted by that crap that they offered him. And that did not help anything at the end of the day. Now, if he would have left, if the Brewers offered 7, the Mets offered 7, the Cubs offered 8, and he left, then I'd be like, okay, there's more to this than just money. Then there's some other underlying stuff that he wasn't getting down with. Or he was sick of having a crap payroll and wanted to go play in the big leagues with big money boy payroll. You know, give me $200 million and see what I can do. Maybe that was part of it as well. Who knows?
Yeah, I mean, regardless of the entire process, Atanasio and whoever else might be involved with the ownership group and making those decisions, they have to take a good chunk of the blame as well. Regardless of how it broke down, regardless if counsel ever gave him a chance to match, like you said, they knew at minimum what it was going to take, and they probably weren't ready to take that step for whatever reason. Again, and that's, I mean, it's things we talked about and heard about with the player salaries and free agency and all that. And it's not about just spend just to spend the money. That doesn't work. But picking your spots, and when you have one of the best managers in baseball and you know at minimum what's going to keep them here, and you, from all everything it sounds like, you didn't even come close, that's definitely on you. And you really need to reexamine what you're doing. And I think the fans from that perspective should very, very well be upset with Atanasio and that group as well.
Yeah, follow the calm one on Twitter, Tim_Mooma. You know how to find me, the loud one. But this is the other thing. Wade Miley the other day says, I don't need $10 million a year. I'm out of here. And my buddy Jake and I were like, where the hell is he going to get $10 million a year? And I said, I bet you money he knows one of two things. Either he knows they're going to trade Burns and they're going backwards, or two, he knows Council's leaving and doesn't want to chance it with the new manager and he's getting out for that reason. That's my thought, because I don't think anybody's giving that dude more than $10 million a year on the open market. Maybe I'm wrong, but I don't see it happening.
Yeah, I mean, there's a couple things with him. I think Miley has contemplated retirement, and who knows? But I do think, in general, the uncertainty around the Brewers right now, not just Burns and Council, but you have other guys who are coming up on free agency. You have the Woodruff injury that sort of throws everything for a loop, even if you were planning on competing next year. So I do think that is a problem. And now you don't have a manager, and who knows where they're going to turn with that. Likely going to look somewhat internally, or somebody who's had some experience within the Brewers organization. That's kind of what it seems like. If you look outside, I don't know there's many great options, unless you're going to look for somebody who's a first-year manager, and there's always a risk of that as well. So
just follow the council lead and just go get another manager. Go get Kotze from the Athletics.
I said on Twitter earlier, I haven't really looked into the managerial stuff. Two guys I know I don't want are Kapler and Ross.
Agreed.
Kotze, I honestly don't know a whole lot about him.
Former
There's some
Brewer.
Guys I have in mind maybe, too. True. He's got some connection there. You know, what is interesting, too, is how quickly the Guardians announced the signing of Stephen Vogt for their manager, because obviously the Brewers must not have interviewed him at all, but I think that could have been a possibility for sure. He has connections here, and everyone seems to think he'd be a great fit as a manager. We'll find out. But that would have been very much along the lines of a council-type signing, too. So I don't know. The Brewers caught with their pants down a little bit, that's for sure.
I think they're going to hire somebody with a connection to the Rays organization. whether it was somebody that was with Arnold in Tampa Bay, or somebody that's in Tampa Bay now, but that's what he knows a lot of. That team has won with no money for quite some time, and I think that's the direction this is going to go. And everybody in that organization is analytically driven and all of that stuff, so it's not going to be a shock to anybody's system coming over here with all of our analytics guys and wanting to play a certain way. When Stearns got here, he had a, him and Council had to get together and try and figure this whole thing out and make it work, and it did, and it was fine, but I think if this goes the way I think it's going to go, it's going to be somebody from Tampa Bay. Pat Murphy, I love Pat Murphy. I don't know if he wants it, and I don't think they'll give it to him. And if they don't, I would think Pat Murphy follows counsel, and I think there's a good chance Chris Hook will follow counsel as well.
Yeah, I don't see Murphy staying. Definitely not. But if he goes with counsel, he's just going to hang him up. Hook, you know, that's a good question. I think that's somebody they definitely need to try to keep here. Now, I think Antanasio said, oh, the whole staff is returning. Of course, that's as of right now, and they can make decisions, obviously, to move on if they need to. But I'm with you on the Rays connections, or, you know, honestly, there's some guys that I've seen that have had Dodgers connections. You know, again, finding guys who have really had that success in analytical organizations, because as you said, that's how Arnold views things. I know that's most teams now in baseball, the modern side of things, but if you're really looking to make that easy transition of finding a manager who believes in the analytical side, but then is also good in the clubhouse, that's what they're going to be searching for. Of course, you had that and you let it go for, you know, whatever reasons. So now the search is on, and I don't know. I think they have some good internal candidates. I'm just not sure that would be enough to appease people right now, especially with the kind of the vitriol that's going through the Brewers fans' veins. But, you know, as I said, it's made for a much more interesting first week in November than I thought was going to happen.
All right, let's talk about Corbin Burns before we wrap this up. Do you trade him you're the Brewers? Because I do. I'm not letting him walk in free agency for nothing. Woodruff is gone, so to hell with it. I'm trading him. I doubt anybody wants Adames, but I'm trading Burns.
I think that is the first best option. I think Baltimore is the perfect spot to try to sell to get the best, you know, return that you can. They have so many good young players that are going to be under team control. They won 100 games last year and then got immediately bounced from the postseason because they had no pitching. It just seems like now would be the time to do that. And I mean, they have guys just about any position you want to look for. That's where they got to look, in my opinion. They got to push hard. Last year, I actually would have been fine with them trading Burns, and I was looking at Texas because they had guys. Well, they probably don't feel the need to go out and make a trade for Burns now. Yeah. So, but I'm with you. I think you got to roll the dice a little bit and make it be a little bit of a transitional period. But you can still sign guys. I mean, even a guy like Gray, I know it's not a huge splash that they brought him back, but you can get away with a couple of guys like that if you then trust in some young guys who step up. Other teams have done it. I mean, look at the Diamondbacks. They have a mix of vets and young players. And, you know, yeah, they won 84 games, fewer than the Brewers in the regular season. But you could see the talent that they had, and they ran it all the way to the World Series.
He is Tim Mumma. Follow him on Twitter at Tim_Mumma. He is also a writer for Brewer Fanatic at BrewerFanatic.com. Follow Brewer Fanatic on Twitter at Brewer_Fanatic. All kinds of great coverage there. Tim, as always, my guy that I call whenever I want to vent, and he tries to calm me down. But I feel like Tim was mad at himself earlier on today. Tim, thank you so much for coming on, my friend. We'll talk again in the future.
Always a pleasure, Sparky. Always a pleasure.